in complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us. And by way of a text, I would direct your attention to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, from which we read, and verse 29. Mark 1, verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and John. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and John. Before coming, dear friends, directly to this verse, I would just say, regarding this morning, those solemn warnings we considered concerning sin, continuing in sin, and the warnings of death as Ezekiel spoke the word of God. There was only one way there could be deliverance from the consequence of sins. For we're all sinners, and we sin day by day. We transgress the word of God. We grieve the Holy Spirit. And dear friends, the only way of deliverance is repentance toward God. Now, repentance, dear friends, means a complete turning back, turning around, going the different way. John the Baptist, as we read here, spoke of repentance. Jesus himself, when he began his ministry, spoke of repentance. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Dear friends, when we are dead in trespasses and in sin, how can we believe the gospel? Oh, they're solemn warnings, aren't they, what we had this morning? How do we come to deliverance? The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, spoke of sinners hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, it was through the preaching of the gospel. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Oh, no one goes to preach the gospel of their own to any saving effect. Oh, dear friends, these solemnly concern every minister, lest they should take their own word. But where the word of God, dear friends, is spoken through their lips in the power of the Spirit, then there can be that gracious effect. Because faith is then mixed with those that hear it. That's the only way there can be that change of heart, that spirit of repentance, faith given to those that hear it, the gift of God. Oh, dear friends, I pray that when we speak of these solemn things from the word of God, these warnings, as it was said, through Ezekiel, definitely it comes to you in the power of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance that you are sinners, and causes you to cry for that mercy, for that grace that is through Jesus, his blood, causes you to solemnly repent and pour out your heart before the Lord in humble confession. Paul wrote, didn't he, to the Gentiles, and we are Gentiles, at Ephesus, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. In time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, and there we lived in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, no different to anyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy. Oh, dear friends, it's my prayer for each of you that you may know this mercy of God through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, who gave himself a sacrifice for sin, the only sacrifice that can cleanse our souls. The blood of bulls and goats and lambs and so forth of the Jewish dispensation couldn't go down. They had no soul that could be poured out unto death, bearing the sins of those who offered them. It was only the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus, to whom was imputed all the sins of his people. All the mystery of this godliness, God manifest in the flesh, that sinners such as you and I, by the power of that Spirit, his Spirit should hear his voice. But God, rich in mercy, because of the great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Worse than dead can't do anything, can they? Why, they can't even hear, they can't see, they can't move. But hath quickened us, made us alive, together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. Oh, dear friends, may the word of God come to you in power, the power of the Holy Spirit, in the blessed power of faith, saved through by grace, through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Now this is the word of God. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet earnestly. That's not the covetousness which is of the law, which is sin when we covet earthly things, but the covetousness when the one thing needful, Jesus, the Saviour of sinners, for our own souls. Then, dear friends, do call upon him under the influence of his Spirit for the knowledge of his saving grace, and to give him all the glory but God. Oh, why me, why me, why such a wretch as me? That's what you'll say, isn't it? Who would forever lie in hell? Oh, those solemn warnings. Were not salvation free. Oh, dear friends, may this be the mercy and blessing of God for each one of you, younger and older, as you pour out your heart before him in confession of sin. Jesus said, concerning repentance, that we must believe. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe. Dear friends, those who do repent, they repent because they believe. life. It's the gift of God, the work of His Spirit. And dear friends, those who repent and believe, they obey. They obey then the voice of the Lord to follow Him. We have here, don't we, the call of Simon, Andrew and Peter and John, and follow me, and they followed Him. They believed. Oh, dear friends, this is the work of the Spirit. And as you often hear me repeat those words of the hymn, Spirit of Truth, come down. Reveal the things of God. Make to me salvation known. Witness with the blood. Dear friends, that's a good prayer. I'm sure the hymn writer knew the answer to it. What did these Jews have to repent of? Well, Jesus primarily here was speaking to the Jews. They got to repent of their trust in their own selves, trusting in their own righteousness, trusting that they were worthy of eternal life because they were of the seed of Jacob. Because to them were given the prophets and the coming of the Messiah. And oh, they held to the law and they were acceptable in the sight of God. Going about to establish their own righteousness. Dear friends, they had not submitted, had they, to the righteousness of God. That was the repentance they needed. The righteousness of God. And what is the righteousness of God? That's the belief in Jesus Christ, who was made sin for them, that they might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, what a sacred truth that is. And what about the Gentiles? What are we to repent of? Our unbelief, nature's darkness, the love of this world. The love, dear friends, that causes us to live just for ourselves, for our own honour and for our own glory. Except ye repent. Oh, dear friends, we shall never be a child of God. Never know to be a child of God, should I say. How important then it is to plead that the Holy Spirit may come. Take of His holy word. There's a thus saith the Lord, as Ezekiel had to declare. And in that power of that word, dear friends, we are broken. Broken hearts as guilty sinners, to pour them out before Him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There's repentance. There's believing faith. And then there's the desire, Lord, to walk in love as He has loved you. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand, dear friends. We know not when the Lord Jesus will come again, do we? Oh, it is not something to be put off, saying, oh, that'll do later. No. We know not what another day may bring forth. 1,000 years are as one day as 1,000 years. Oh, dear friends, we need to be praying souls, don't we? That the Lord will confirm His interest of that shed blood of Christ within us and upon us. Let me leave it just there. I hope, dear friends, your heart is touched. And you will consider these things day by day, hour by hour. The Lord to set His cross before your eyes. For there is your hope of eternal life. Now we read here concerning Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He called Peter and Andrew and James and John. And they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Dear friends, what was a synagogue? We don't read of any synagogues in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, until the time of the captivity, there was the temple. And that temple was set alone for the Jews to worship God. In the time of the feasts and the time of special occasions, all went up to Jerusalem, to the temple to worship. How solemn that when there was the break of the 10 tribes of Israel from Judah and Benjamin, that their king Jeroboam set up those idols in Dan and in Bethel, because the king would not permit them to go up to Jerusalem. But dear friends, the temple in Jerusalem was the only God-given place, as it was made known unto David to build there, his son Solomon given the task to build there the place for the worship of God. And then that came, because of all their sins, it was destroyed. And they went into captivity. There was no place of worship there as such, was there? But after they returned from that captivity after 70 years, they began to build the temple again, yes. And people came back from Babylon. Many of them were born there. Most of them were born there after the 70 years of captivity. And where they live now in the land of Judea round about, they were ignorant. They were ignorant of the scriptures in Hebrew. They were ignorant of the ways of worship. And one by one, more and more, these little places were built in the various villages and towns. They were called synagogues. Place of assemblies, as all we might call them. Where the Jews used to gather to learn Hebrew. They used to read the scriptures, the Old Testament, the prophets, the Psalms. They used to sing praises. They used to pray. This was led, of course, by the priests. And also, there was an expansion by them of the Word of God. The Pharisees had control of the synagogues. The Sadducees had control of the temple. But dear friends, these synagogues in the days of Jesus were now throughout Judea and Galilee, and they were attended every Sabbath day. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. A time of worship, a time of separation from normal labour of manual life, a day dedicated to the Lord. And Jesus, who came to fulfill the law, even honoured the Sabbath day. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath days. As Jesus went here into the synagogue, there's no doubt he taught, because they were all amazed that they questioned among themselves, "What thing is this? He teaches with authority and not as the scribes." He teaches with authority. You know, dear friends, that word authority has its base in the word author. And that's Jesus, isn't it? The author, he is the word of God. The word was made flesh. And who is authority? The word of God straight from his lips. What he taught, we are not told. But there was a gracious effect upon the people. And then there was this man there. Let us alone. What have we to do thee with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? He was possessed with the devil. And dear friends, we read the devils knew who Jesus was. That's a most solemn teaching, isn't it? The devils knew who Jesus was. So we have it in more than one occasion. But those who went to the synagogue didn't. Especially the scribes and the Pharisees. And those who were influenced by his word, they doubted who he was. Oh, dear friends, what about us? Do we know that Jesus indeed is the Son of God, who came into the world to save sinners? Oh, the Lord deliver us from being like these Jews. Yes, there was an effect to a certain extent. But many of them did not come to be full believers. But dear friends, some good thing was done here in this synagogue. There was the healing of this man who had a devil. Oh, the Jews, they often criticised Jesus for healing on the Sabbath day as if it was a manual work. And he was then worthy of death because he had broken the law. Oh, what ignorance. Think of that woman bound for 18 years, could not straighten up herself. We are told she had a spirit of infirmity whom Satan had bound those 18 years. She came into the Sabbath, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus was there and he healed her. Now, dear friends, what about you and what about me? We don't come to the synagogue. But you know the Gentile synagogue are our chapels, our churches. We come here on the Sabbath day, the Christian Sabbath, to worship. I trust we do. I trust it's not custom and practice like it was with many of the Jews when they went to their synagogues. How do we come? How do we come to the chapels, the places appointed for worship? Perhaps so often we go away the same as what we come. Yes, we've sung the hymns, we've heard the prayers, we've read the word of God. We've heard a ministry on the word, and we go out, and there's been no gracious effect. Dear friends, is that not the case for most of the times? I'm speaking for myself as much as to any of us. As if it's our duty to do, and yes, it is our duty. But dear friends, what a mercy if we come. And the Lord Jesus is present with us. You know, it might be for one here or for one there. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And all our times are in his hand. And there's appointed time to be called by his grace. Oh, what a mercy if we come. Perhaps we've come, we exercise. Perhaps like James and John and Peter and Andrew, Jesus comes up with us. There's an influence within us. The Lord is present with us. But we know not what's going to take place. But dear friends, in the courts of his house, under the preaching of the gospel or under the reading of the word, Jesus himself performs within us that call by grace. He sets within us the knowledge of the truth of his sufferings, of his death, of his glorious resurrection in this gospel day. He comes and touches our hearts. They may be hard, they may be dead, they may be dry as we've come in. But oh, they're made soft. There's a sweet savour of the truth of Jesus, the saviour of sinners. And there's that love of his, that redeeming love shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And our heart is melted and it's softened. Oh, and there's such love drawn out from us up to the Lord himself. Dear friends, these are the moments, aren't they, rich in blessing, which before the cross are spent. These are the things, dear friends, we should come into the Lord's house, as we call it, on the Sabbath day, to know his blessing, to hear his voice. Oh, dear friends, you don't come just to hear what the minister's got to say. My words will go into your heads, yes, you may agree with everything that he said. But we want it like that of Thessalonica, don't we? Where the gospel is not in word only, but in the power of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Dear friends, you don't forget these times, do you? Some of you have known them. The day of the Lord's appearing, the day of the Lord's blessing. Dear friends, if you haven't been known, have heard his voice before, it's the day of repentance. As you're turned about to believe on him. And oh, the sweetness of those believing views. Even by faith, a view given of Christ, a precious Saviour dying on Calvary. And the word is, it is for you, it is for you, that Christ hung and suffered there. You know what, dear friends? You don't want to leave that house, do you? You don't want to leave that place of worship. You don't want to leave because you're frightened that you'll lose the sweetness of the blessing. Perhaps you've been coming many, many years. Oh, like that woman with the who's been double for 18 years. Hoping and seeking for the Lord's blessing. But nothing is too hard for him, and you've come and you've come and you've come and you've gone and you've come, and there's really been no effect of the preached word or the reading of the word upon your heart. But then he comes. Perhaps you came again thinking, oh, well, I suppose it'll be the same as before. There's no hope for me. That longing desire is never fulfilled. But dear friends, our times are in the Lord's hand. The Lord knoweth them that are his. The time of love will come for a seeking soul, which you are. The time of love will come when he shall truly say, or you will truly see, not that he only shed his blood, but you shall say, for me. Well, dear friends, those are those rich blessings which God hath to impart through Christ. And is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? This is coveting earnestly the best gifts, isn't it? And then the service closes. You don't want to leave. Oh, how sacred is that place where the Lord has appeared unto you. You fearful going out that door that you will immediately lose that sweetness. You don't want to really talk to others. There's something is spoken that will affect you and take it away. And but dear friends, the Lord won't remove himself from you. If he has begun that work, he will abide with you. Oh, look at this word here as we've read as a text. I've taken a long time to come to it because it needs the background. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. Or as another gospel says, Jesus entered into the house of Simon and Andrew as they came out of the synagogue, out of that place when that wonderful work had been done there. Dear friends, out of the chapel, as we might say today, where his wonderful work has been performed for you, goes down to your house where you live. He doesn't leave you. You go down to that place of your own home And the Lord abides with you there. And there, dear friend, you can commit all your way unto him. There you can trust also in him. Oh, look what place here in Capernaum. There, Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And anon, that means immediately, they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Immediately the fever left her and she ministered unto them. Is anything too hard for the Lord? All those matters you've got in your home life, in your business life, in your daily life, your duties, your responsibilities. Now, friends, the Lord isn't with you just in the house of God, just in the chapel. He is with you always. Now, the promise is, I will never leave thee now, nor forsake thee. Oh, and when we come into times of temptations and fears and things go wrong concerning us and it may bring us into doubt and troubles, we have that gracious promise, don't we, of the Lord's people. He says, none shall ever pluck thee out of my hand. None shall ever pluck thee out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And dear friends, you poor soul who have found this grace, you are one also. For Jesus prayed, didn't he, to his Father, Lord, that those who believe on me through their word, that was the preaching of the apostles, the preaching of those whom the Lord doth send to preach the gospel, those that believe on them, believe on me through their word, they shall be one, even as we are one, eternally one. Oh, dear friends, what saving grace this is, isn't it? When the Lord grants his blessing, dear friends, upon us, yes, in the courts of his house, in a chapel, as even as we might be here now, he says, fear not. No, you've got to go your way. You've got to enter into the things of this earthly life. But Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He will lead us. He will guide us. Oh, we're kept, aren't we, as the apple of his eye. And yet we are still sinners. But that blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanseth us from all sin. Dear friends, on such love, as the hymn writer put it, my soul still ponder. Love so great, so rich, so free. Dear friends, what do you want? What do you want more than this saving grace, this love of Christ for the forgiveness of your sin? Oh, as we look into our hearts, what's our longing desire? Is it Jesus crucified for me? Then, dear friends, that's what we plead, isn't it? To know our Jesus crucified, to by far excel all things beside. I could from all things parted be, but never ever, Lord, from thee. Dear friends, those things are the evidence of the Lord is with us. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Jesus was present with them. Oh, dear friends, if you've known the Lord's blessing upon you today, I know not. If he's spoken, dear friends, some word unto your soul, you become a seeking soul. Or a seeking soul has become a blessed soul. Or a blessed soul has become a confirmed soul. Dear friends, I know not what the Lord may use his word for. Dear friend, you can go down to your home. The Lord's presence is with you. You can enter in all that has to be done there. Oh, it becomes a special place of worship, doesn't it? As you read the word and call upon him in prayer. As you plead that precious name of Jesus. And he's there to hear and answer your prayers. He's there to supply all your need. is there to lead you forth in the right way. You lean upon him, casting upon him all your cares. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, knowing that all comes upon you in this life is of the Lord's will. There's a divine purpose in it. And you desire those things, even the troubles and tribulations, to be sanctified and made of holy use for the blessing of your soul. You look to Jesus. You lean upon him. You trust in him. And dear friends, he never leaves you alone, does he? Sometimes we may have to wait for the answers to our prayers. Sometimes, dear friends, we may backslide, as we noted this morning. Oh, that the righteous, even they sin. We have to come again and again, don't we, to the throne of grace. Through that precious name of Jesus, he who can be touched with a feeling of our infirmities, and we've got many of those, but he was tempted in all points such as we are, yet he without sin, having paid the price for us, that he can come in the power of his resurrection, having made a way to eternal life, to give us all that grace that we have need of, to worship him, to follow him, to strengthen us, to do that which is his will, to obey his voice, and all his will esteem. Oh, dear friends, the Lord enters with us from the time of his blessing, the time of his confirmation that we are his, to our journey's end. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then your ends are everlasting peace. If Jesus is ours, we have a true friend, don't we? Oh, look to Jesus, kind and strong, mercy joined with power. You're his, he is yours. All things are yours, for ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Well, dear friends, our text is one of the presence of the Lord. His blessing upon us in the time of worship. His going forth with us throughout our days. Moses couldn't go without him, could he? Oh, at the Mount Horeb, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Dear friends, that was one who knew the Lord's voice. That was one who'd been called by grace. That was one who knew the rendering of the Spirit within, that he dare not venture without the help of the Lord. Well, dear friends, he is faithful that hath promised. He will do all things for us. And yes, the fulfilling of that promise, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Dear friends, do speak of these things. Or where the Lord has openly blessed you, then openly bless the Lord. Dear friends, for those things are in obedience to his will. Forthwith they were come out of the synagogue. They entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Dear friends, the Lord be with us now as we leave this chapel this afternoon. Be in our conversations one with another. May they be to the honour and glory of our Lord. Be with us through the remainder of this day. Give us safety in the inclement weather, safely to our homes. Give us rest and sleep. And may we be able to wake in the morning and say, I am still with thee. The Lord is still there. Blessed be his name. Amen.